The scripture reading this morning is found in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. As the bulletin shows, we're going to look both this morning and this evening at the same verse, but a different part of the verse. Surely I come quickly. Our words spoken by the Lord Jesus in his glorified revelation to his servant John. And we'll look again this evening at John's words in response to that. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Both of those little sentences begin with the same word. It doesn't look that way in English translations usually. The King James has surely in the mouth of Christ and even so in the mouth of John, but they're the same word in the Greek. And it's a very simple word. I'll learn a little Greek. It's nai, N-A-I. It means yes, among other things. But you know, one of the most difficult things in the study of a language, even our own language, is not the big words. Those are usually pretty anti-disestablishmentarianism can really only mean one thing. But a word like but can mean all kinds of things. There's a subtlety of meaning to the little words of any language, certainly the Greek of the New Testament, the Hebrew or English that we speak. Both here use the same word, Jesus and John, and it can be translated simply as yes. Are you going to preach this morning? Yes. An answer to a question. Very simple. But there are other things that are a little more involved. There are shades of meaning that require more reflection. The standard lexicon, dictionary of the New Testament Greek, defines this word as, quote, a particle denoting affirmation, agreement, or emphasis, end of quote. Now that's kind of how yes functions in English. Sometimes we use a slang word. We don't say yes. We respond, yeah. Okay, because it's easier to say. I don't know. It's been said that the safest way to reply to anything is simply to say, yeah, right. It involves no commitment and doesn't put you down on any side of the argument. Yes, even so, surely, you bet. There are different ways that that can be used in English and in a way in the Greek as well. Indeed, that lexicon I mentioned sets out five separate distinct uses of the word nigh in the New Testament. You wouldn't think there'd be so many for a simple word. The fourth of those is described as a solemn assurance. You see, that's what Jesus is doing in these words to John. Surely, yes, I come quickly. Jesus sets out the words that follow as words that are sure and certain and not to be questioned. It's not the same as taking an oath, but it's in a way very powerfully close to it. Yes, I come quickly. Although the word nigh, the word yes, is not used elsewhere in that 22nd chapter. The idea of a sure and certain statement on the part of Christ is present. Look at verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. They're faithful. They're true. They're sure. Yes to those statements. Verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Same thing he says in verse 20. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The idea of coming on the part of Christ, and the idea of stating it in a way that makes it sure and certain and clear that this will in fact take place, is very basic to this chapter of the book of Revelation. We can learn from that. In fact, as we reflect on it, we should look back way before in the book of Revelation to the first chapter, which says of Christ, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Similar to what John says at the end of the book in the 20th verse. I think we all recognize that the word maybe is not used a lot in the Bible. Or possibly. Or chances are. Or if we're lucky. The gospel and all that it involves includes a certainty, because things are being done by and accomplished by God himself, especially through his Son, the Lord Jesus. So what are the lessons we learn from? Surely, yes, I come quickly. Well, first of all, we can say that Christ isn't done yet. When Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he did not cease his activity. He was active, he is now active, and he will be active. Christ is not dead, he's alive. He's not asleep. Remember Baal in the Old Testament at Mount Carmel with Elijah? Shout a little louder, maybe he's snoozing. Maybe he's away on vacation. Jesus isn't away on vacation. Jesus works in the past, and I don't mean just in his ministry upon this earth, but in the past. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Somehow the Word of God, which was incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ, was at work in the creation itself, because it existed before the creation as a part of the eternal and ever-blessed Trinity. Christ was at work, we might almost say, before there was anything to work with. Christ accomplishes the Father's will. I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Sometimes I think children, but adults too, have to deal with the question, what do you want to do today? Oh, no, I know what I want to do today. Well, we'll just go out and see. Bonnie and I visited some of her family in Fife 1 year, and they were going to take us for a ride in their car, and we went out and got by the car there and near Dunfermline, Charlestown. And the first thing that the man had to do was to figure out which way the wind was blowing, because he didn't want to go in the wrong direction for fear that there would be rain. What do you want to do today? Well, we could go that way, or we could go that way, or we could go up that way, or we could cross the bridge and go that way. Jesus is never at a loss for purpose. He is never uncertain about what he seeks to accomplish. Jesus accomplishes the Father's will. You remember the scene in the garden? If this cup could pass from me, may it be so. But not my will, but thine be done, is Jesus' prayer. Jesus was active and worked in the past. And he works in the present. What is Jesus doing now? No, Romans 8:34 gives us one answer. It is Christ who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus reigns and rules as the Son of God at the right hand of the Father. He sent forth the Spirit to rule and to guide this world and the church. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And most particularly, even now, he is interceding with the Father on behalf of his own. You are in Jesus' mind right now. Jesus is active. He was active. He will always be active. He worked in the past. He works in the present. And he will work in the future. In the Acts of the Apostles, it's an account of the ascension of Christ, the very first chapter. And the men of Galilee are watched him ascend into the clouds. An angel comes. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Christ, not that he's not working now, but his work now will continue until that day when he does return, spoken of by the angels to the men of Galilee. In the book of Revelation, the second coming, or the coming of Christ, can refer really to two things. It can refer to his coming in judgment to rule over all who oppose his way. Old Testament Israel, we know that that was destroyed in 70 AD, and that was the coming of Christ. See that in Matthew 24. It can also be Christ coming to judge the godless nations, the government of, what do they call it in Revelation? Babylon, which is the Roman Empire. But while that's true in a sense, that is a figurative way of understanding the return of Christ. For there is a literal way in which he is to come, and that is what we call the second coming. the last day when all will be accomplished. The second point that can be made is, of course, as I say, that Christ is active, but that he intends to return because that is his plan and his Father's plan. Book of Acts says this in the first chapter, why you stand looking up into heaven? We've seen the answer was because he's going to come back. That's not hope without foundation. That is not hope against hope. That is not wishful thinking on the part of Christ's people. Here again, there's no mention of a maybe. Christ intends to return because that is a part of his plan and his Father's plan. Even so, come Lord Jesus, we'll look at that this evening, but that ought to be our response. Surely I come quickly. That's what Christ says. His return is certain. Doesn't he himself start his sentence with nigh? Yes, surely. Absolutely, without question, you got it. In the book of Revelation, very first chapter, we read these words. This is the beginning of this great vision that John has. You remember the letters to the churches and all that. But listen just to the first verse. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the message comes from the risen, glorified Christ reigning at the right hand of God to the angel, to John, and from John to us. Surely I come quickly has been cause of some debate. 2,000 years doesn't seem quick to me. Is he delayed? Something need to be done in order to affect that? There are those Christians and others, I guess, who believe that the thing lacking now is the third temple being built in Jerusalem, and somehow if we go over and build that, Jesus will come. As if his coming was dependent on our feeble attempt to bring chronological clarity to world history. Surely, quickly, not chronological descriptions, but rather, it is a call for us to look at the whole of cosmic history from God's perspective, not from our perspective. 2,000 years is a long time, but it's not a long time to God. His return is certain, and he says it is sure, and John says, it'll be quick. We've begun a new year today, the way we reckon our year. Didn't used to be this way, by the way. It used to be March was the first. New Year's Day was in March in the 18th century. Figure it out. Count on your fingers. What's September? The ninth month? No, the seventh month. What's October? The 10th month? No. The 8th. The months even have names based on the spring being the new year, not January 1st. But there's no biblical warrant that requires us to go anyway on that. So today is the beginning of a new year. And we have seen that even in this little sentence that we're analyzing, indeed in the very word yes, we see an affirmation of the fact that Christ is active and working and is now active and working. Surely I come quickly. He intends to return according to a plan, according to a purpose. And that return is certain and cannot be thwarted by the sinfulness of men. Looking at all this from the perspective of Christ, from the perspective of the one who says to his servant John, yes, surely. Can we say, you bet? Right? Christ has said it, and he will accomplish it. So whatever else we do for 2017, how long is it going to take you to stop writing 2016 in your checkbook or whatever you write? But for 2017, the thing that we need to remember as his people, and again, we'll look at it this evening, is that Christ is working according to plan. And Christ's plan is sure. And when he says, I come, he's not fooling. Jesus said, the Great Commission, the end of Matthew's Gospel, says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want to close with a statement from a man by the name of Clark. Some of you theologians in residence will know of Gordon Clark. Well, this is his father, David Clark. He wrote this many years ago. It's a little paperback. It's kind of small and short and concise. A commentary on the book of Revelation called The Word from Patmos or something like that. But I just want to read the last paragraph because I think we need to be encouraged sometimes. Who can miss the lesson that the enemies of God and of the church are doomed to fall? But that Christ's cause is always and everywhere triumphant. That the omnipotent God is on the side of his church and no weapon formed against it shall prosper. But through all the revolutions and persecutions and dissolutions of earth and time, he will bring it off triumphant and present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Every judgment recorded in the book of Revelation spells victory for the church of God and the end, beatific destiny of the New Jerusalem, where they shall be his people. And he shall be their God. Surely. Yes. Absolutely. Without question. You got it. I come quickly. That's not just a word to John. When you receive the revelation, it's a word to you today, here, in this circumstance, whatever it is that we face or deal with. Jesus said, I come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. Bless us, our Heavenly Father, that these things might be very real to us, that we might be sure of what Christ has said he will do. And knowing the one who says it, knowing that he acts in accord with thy will and purpose from before the foundation of the earth. Let us be sure and true ourselves. Let us be filled with hope and wonder and joy that Christ will do what he says he will do. These things we ask in his name. Amen.